It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here. It's Sunday morning. Wes Moss, your host here every Sunday morning from 9 until 11. The worst. How often do we start out with that on Money Matters? The worst stock market drop since the crash of 1987. You know why? It's coronavirus induced. It was exacerbated by an oil price war that just happened to happen in the same week. And then, of course, where we are today, March, sadness for the economy. Where do we go from here? Where do we go in a period of time that is unprecedented in respect to not just a slowdown in some industries, but just a complete shutdown? People are just not going to fly. And we're not going to slow down by 10% or 20%. This is brick wall time for a lot of industries in the United States. What is Vinny's Pizza down the road going to do if, A, nobody wants to come into work and nobody wants to go out of their houses to buy pizza? How does that business survive in this $23 trillion economy? What are we going to do? I'm going to talk us through how we get through this as an economy, how we get through this as a nation, and then how we get through this here on Money Matters as investors. There is a path forward here. There is light at the end of the tunnel here. And I'm not just blindly optimistic about this, but have thought day in and day out, 24/7 for the last 2 months, 2.5 months, since before this crisis was in the headlines, on how we get through this. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about here today. So good morning. We are live here this Sunday morning. Your host again, Wes Moss, Ryan Ely with me, of course. We are here to also to take your phone calls and your questions. I don't remember a scarier time for investors since 9/11. And we have answers for you. And we're happy to take your phone calls and questions, even if you're just, hey, I'm nervous, man. Are you crazy? Do you really think we get through this? How is my 401k not going down? We're here with answers. So the number in the studio, 404-872-0750 this morning. We're going to be here for the next 2 hours, and we'd love to talk. 404, I would think, because I didn't see a car on the way here, and Ryan drives a little further than I do, and he, I think, saw one car. I suspect no one's out in their cars listening to the radio, but the good news is, at least for the radio business, is that there are 70 million smart speakers in America. And by the way, radios still work. Good old-fashioned AM, FM radios, they still work. We also have Amazon Alexas, and guess what? Internet connections work, and they work great right now. So all you have to do is say, hey, WSB, play hey, WSB, play Alexa. No, hey, Alexa, play WSB Radio, 95.5 WSB. And I'm going to talk about, though, some good news, too. There, you've heard about, as you know, if you've been listening to Money Matters, I've been talking to the leading experts of infectious disease to try to figure out this problem, where it goes, because obviously it's impacting the economy. We knew it was going to impact the economy in a very major way. There are a couple of concepts that Americans are quickly getting familiar with now that everyone's accepted the problem. Thank goodness that Americans have finally said, okay, we get it, accept the problem. Now, where do we go from here? Americans are responding. And I think if there's a theme through any of this, just like post 9/11, after we got hit with a shock, what do Americans always do? We always respond in the most magnificent way, and we're doing it already here in the United States. So I want to talk about the response, because we know that folks that have investments and a brokerage account, and you may have $100,000 or $2 million, and you've got a portion of that safe, and I call that dry powder, and it's actually one of the steps I want to talk about today, getting through this crisis. But what about all the Americans, the majority of Americans that don't have dry powder? Well, the only answer we have, and the reality here, is that every recession in modern times, the government has stepped in some sort of fiscal way to give us a bridge of dry powder, meaning a bridge of cash flow Whether you're an individual, a small business owner, self-employed, or a business highly impacted by whatever crisis that we're going through in America. Maybe that's post 9/11. Maybe that's the financial crisis. Today, it's the coronavirus economy that is shutting down a big portion of the world that we live in for a, here's the good news, a period of time. So I'm going to talk about almost this, just try this. The market over the last several weeks has become the vigilante for a response. What did I mean by that? The market itself is saying, I'm not going to wait. We're not waiting. We are going to essentially take care of the problem or force your hand to big government. You're going to force your hand to a fiscal response, whether you like it or not. We are the market is the vigilante that says, here, we are the hot poker to say, look, we are going to keep going down and keep this bloodbath massacre in stocks until we get an appropriate response. An appropriate response a couple weeks ago was not, hey, we're going to give you $8 billion to help fund this problem. That is a pea shooter, and we needed a bazooka, and that's what we started to get starting Friday. The federal government has triangulated this problem. We call it the Federal Reserve and their response. And again, there's going to be more to go here, because the reality is we likely need more than just a bazooka. We might need an entire firing range of bazookas. But at least everyone understands that now. And it's taken a while to get here. The market has forced the hand of an appropriate fiscal response. What do I mean by that? Well, here's this triangulation of the problem. The triangulation is Congress just passed H.R. 6201. That makes emergency supplemental appropriations. Just means emergency money for those who do not have a bridge of dry powder to get through this. Emergency supplemental appropriations. What else did we do? Here's another bazooka. Public-private partnership between the United States government and the very best companies in America to help solve this problem. They happen to have big parking lots, by the way. They happen to be able to help it with testing. They happen to be able to ramp up testing, which is the biggest, one of the biggest failures we've had through this crisis is not giving the American public the knowledge of, hey, I'm either sick or not sick. That swirling fear of the unknown is going to start to dissipate now that we have this public-private partnership between government, CVS, Walgreens, Target, LabCorp, Quest, Roche, home health companies. That's the response we needed. We saw it on Friday, and we saw it on Saturday morning after midnight, and it is those two massive, massive interventions. The third one is the Federal Reserve with $1 trillion in liquidity to make sure markets function properly. And they're already have said they're buying $60 billion worth of bonds to calm down the bond market. These numbers will go up. This is a huge bazooka response, but we are going to need more than just this. But now we are trying to bridge this economy to when things get better and we have to stop social distancing. And that triangulation gets this economy to a point where we go through a post-coronavirus world and we begin to heal, which will happen. It's going to take, there will be several weeks of pain, several months of pain, but we will emerge through this. But the reason I keep saying triangulation of the problem, it's the Federal Reserve. It is the public-private partnership. It is Congress, H.R. 6201, that we know will get voted in likely on sometime next week. And then there will be another response, and it's going to have to be something to do with the travel and leisure industry. Because if you think about being a restaurant, a hotel, a cruise line, an airline, the leisure and the travel and leisure industry needs help, needs stimulus. And we will see that, and even Secretary Mnuchin said that this week, and we will see a response for that industry as well. So good morning and welcome to Money Matters. How do we respond as investors? How do we get through this here in unprecedented economic times? Now, when you say unprecedented, everything feels unprecedented in stock markets because anytime you have a crash, it's because something new. We have a new problem that we haven't solved yet. And the market doesn't have the foresight to say, here's the solution to the problem. If we had the same exact problem we had a year ago or 5 years ago, markets say, well, wait a minute. We know the solution to this. So we don't need to fall 30% in order to figure it out. Well, we didn't have the solution. And quite frankly, we don't know the exact solution to get through the coronavirus, but we're starting to figure it out. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about here today. There's two concepts, the flattening the curve and social distancing. I want to talk about social distancing for a minute because it's actually one of the most important responses we have as a nation to get through this. And the great news about this, I'll give you good news, bad news. The good news is there is a lot of data around, and this is statistical data, it's healthcare data, it's public health data. There's a lot of data around how social distancing really works. The bad news is social distancing really works. And so we have this double-edged sword, and I'm going to explain a paper by the Institute for Disease Modeling and how what we're faced with today actually is extraordinarily helpful for the problem. And we're going to do that when Money Matters returns. We're going to do weather, traffic, then more Money Matters right after the break. Stay tuned, 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's News and Talk. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. Wes Moss, your host, here on a Sunday morning. Talk about the response. How do Americans respond? What does that mean economically? And of course, what does that mean back for the stock market? Here we are in a week. Dow Jones Industrial Average, worst hit since Black Monday of 1987, falling almost 10% this past Thursday. Just a massive decline we've seen in such a short period of time. If you go back to the high in mid-February for this market, the close is around almost 3,400 on the S&P 500. On Thursday, it fell down to 2,480, basically, which was down almost 27%. Since the end of World War II, that's the fastest the market has ever gone down from an all-time high. If you take a high when things are going really well and everyone's excited to now a bear market, it's the quickest this has ever happened. It happened in 22 days. If you want to actually count stock market trading days, it only took 16 days. The VIX the VIX is the fear index. And you can look at that. It looks a lot like you can track it just like you can track the chart of a stock. Well, the VIX was floating in the 10 range. Oh, 10, 11, given day. Oh, the VIX was up to 14. It was a bad day. The VIX spiked to 75. The VIX spiked to 75 this past week. It's the fourth highest VIX in history. So here we are. We're looking at periods of time like 9/11, like the financial crisis in 07, 08, and we are formulating a path forward. And if you think about those periods of time, think about how scary and open-ended 9/11 was. 9/11, and this is the period of time, this crisis that we're in reminds me of 9/11. In 9/11, we were attacked, and there was no real end in sight because it was an open-ended problem. Yes, we responded in a lot of different ways, but the thought was, and you can remember back to 9/11, and you remember September, October, November, well, when do we get hit again? When's the next hit? How does this ever end? And we eventually got through that. Here, what's interesting is that as bad as this is economically, we know that there's an end. So how do we model this out over the course of the next month and 3 months and 6 months and a year? And that's why as investors, we have to think of this as a bridge. How do we get through this shock? This is arguably just a period of time before the sun comes out and we're back to full economic activity. And by the way, when that happens, and we've seen this in post-pandemics, because we've not only lived through massive terrorist attacks, assassinations, World War I, World War II, war in the Middle East, these very scary times in our history, we've gotten through all of them. and we've been able to recover economically. What we see when we go through these periods of time, when the economy comes back, it comes back really with extra force and great force, and we get a recovery that looks like either U, which I'll take all day, which means it takes a little while and then it really ramps up, or we even get something like a V, where things go down dramatically like we're seeing today, and then we get a V-shaped recovery that goes back into really the light and positive, and we have economic strength again, and we're going to see that. We just have to get through this arguably difficult period of time. When we get back, I want to talk about the story from Seattle and why social distancing really works. That's the good news. And then the bad news of that it really works when Money Matters returns. Stay tuned. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here at Sunday Morning. We're going to talk about a paper from the Institute of Disease Modeling that shows how social distancing, why it's a good thing. And obviously, the good news is it's a great thing, and it has a very beneficial effect on the spread of infection, which means that the death rate comes down, the infection rate comes way down if we practice this. And there are two scientific studies that I want to bring to you that bring that to bear. That's the good news. The bad news is that it works as well, meaning that it's going to keep this economy kind of in this, as Eric von Hessler would say, almost like a turtle, just completely hunkered down in its shell for a period of time. There's so many industries that are hit so hard here that we've got to figure out a way to get through. I want to talk about that in a minute. But here we just had the worst week really since 1987. One of the worst weeks we've seen since the financial crisis. We're in a bear market. Wes, what do I do? You're telling me Americans are responding? Great. What do I do for my 401k? Well, let me go through something that I talked about to all the families that we work with. I've talked about this on the Eric von Hessler show this week. I've talked about it on Mark Arum's show. We've been trying to be out front to help you get through what is arguably a difficult period of time, not only economically, but of course the stock market. If you're headed into retirement, you're saying, wow, this is a scary time to be retired and not working. If you're 30, if you're like Jared Yamamoto here at the station and his team and the PowerPod, this is great. You know, high five your millennial colleague at the cubicle next door, because stock market down for you, awesome. Just keep buying more. Just keep buying more. How do we make money? Well, we buy the market when we're down 25%. What's an even better way to make money? Buy the market when it's down 35%. What's an even better way than that? Buy the market when it's down 50%. If you're 30 years old and you're a millennial, you're celebrating this decline because you know we'll get through this, and this is when you really should be buying. It's a lot harder for somebody who's 60, who is now just heading into retirement. Whoa, Wes, what do we do? Well, let's walk through kind of these three steps I've been talking about right here on WSB Radio for the better part of a couple weeks. Number one, kind of the overarching theme here is that Americans are responding. And I'm going to go through three things, and I want to take a call here in just a second. Number one, I think this is the first part. The first part of solving a problem is understanding the problem. And that's, I think we finally are at that point where Americans get it. So that we know that this is something that we need to come together to. We need to do social distancing. We need to flatten the curve of the virus. And that means that we're going to be in an economic shutdown for a period of time. So number one, we are facing that reality. And there was a long period of time during this crisis when we weren't even doing that. So we're doing that now. We've looked at the mortality rates. I think the next narrative that will eventually emerge in this is not about death rate, mortality, kill rate. And I'm guilty of even talking about that too here because I'm trying to figure this out and debunk some of the scarier, arguably more severe numbers that created even more panic than maybe we should have had. However, we're in a place where that panic will probably save a lot of lives and we'll get through this. But we will shift the narrative at some point here in America to not about death, but about survival and about life and living, meaning that rather than talking about death, we are going to at some point understand in America that the survival rate f- for coronavirus is 99%+. It's arguably, and if you've listened to my interviews with Dr. Amish Adulja from Johns Hopkins University, which is again corroborated by my contacts at the CDC, is that when you look back at this crisis, we're very likely going to see a survival rate of 99.5%, maybe even more than that. It might be 99.6%, 99.7%. We don't know yet. And again, this is still, nobody will know until we look back at this crisis. But at some point, Americans will realize that the vast, vast, vast majority of people will get through, will sail right through this. Now, it doesn't mean it's not a problem. And it doesn't mean those who are in their 70s and 80s and 90s don't have to be super careful. And you've heard this over and over again. It doesn't mean those with underlying conditions can just sail through this and not worry about it. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying, globally, from a macro perspective, we're going to look back on this and say, wow, 99.5%, 99.67% of Americans were able to get through this and survive this. So that is the reality of what we need to understand. Number two is that we need a bridge of dry powder. Very simply, investors that have, the families that we work with have plenty of dry powder. If you have any sort of balance at all, even if you have 20, 30% in bonds and cash, or you have 50, 60% in bonds and cash, guess what? That is dry powder. That's money that you can get to. That's money you can get to during this period of time, so you don't have to dip into stocks. You don't have to sell stocks while they're down. That's technically dry powder. So if you're in that percentage of the population, and in the investment industry, it's easy to forget that there are, so that's, those are the families that we work with. What about, Wes, the families that don't have the dry powder? What about those who are working paycheck to paycheck, which is a huge, huge percentage of the population? What about if you're a waitress or waiter and you're living paycheck to paycheck and your restaurant shuts down? Not only are you paycheck to paycheck, now you don't even have a job. So how, and now you're supposed to stay home for the next month. Well, how do you pay your bills? Well, the only answer we have, and this has happened through every crisis, fiscal, financial, recession, depression in America, there has been some sort of bridge, some sort of fiscal response, and that's what we're getting. That's what we're getting. Ryan wants me to go to a call here, and we're going to do that right now. So number one, we're facing reality. Number two, bridge to dry powder, and then we're getting that through the public-private partnership was just announced. This is less than 48 hours ago. Bill H.R. 6201 from Congress just announced less than 24 hours ago. And then the triangulation with the Federal Reserve and what they're doing to make liquidity and the banking system continue. Put all of those pieces together, and now we have a shot to bridge this economic period of time, this difficult episode that we will get through. Again, the phone lines are open here for the next 2 hours, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I'm going to go to the phones, and then we're going to talk about the third step here, which is recovery in America and what that looks like. Nicole, who joins us from Athens. Nicole, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. What's going on? How can we help? How are you doing?
Yes, I'm fine. Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay.
What do you do with your idle cash, cash that you do not need?
That's your dry powder, Nicole. So when you're thinking about dry powder, I think your radio is on. So,
okay, let me ask I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Just one moment, I apologize.
You need to say, Alexa, turn off WSB.
Tony, turn off the
this sounds
sorry
like,
about that.
You know what, this is what social distancing is all about. We're huddled together with our family. I don't know if the Ryan and I have been trying to figure this out. Nicole, I think you still have your radio on, but Ryan and I have been trying to figure this out. Are we going to have a baby boom during this period of social isolation, or are we going to have a divorce boom? And maybe we have a little bit of both. If you are in, you and your spouse are together in the house for the next solid month, I don't know if the divorce rate goes up, or potentially the baby boom goes up, and there'll be a new wave. It'll be a new generation called coronials. That emerge out of this as a absolute baby boom. So, okay, now here we go. Let's go back to Nicole, who it sounds like you turned down your radio. All right, what's going on? How can we help?
Yes. What do you do with your idle cash? Cash that you do not need, CD that have just matured. Do I leave it at 1.5%? Do I invest it? If yes, where?
There's a couple of thoughts here, and I think I want to first discuss the rate just for a second. We have, just remember, in America, it's very likely that the Federal Reserve is going to have to take interest rates over the next, it could be the next week, could be the next month, but they're going to very likely take interest rates to zero. They're going to have to do that because, number one, most interest rates around the world, the European Central Bank, the Bank of Japan, think about the other big versions of the Fed around the world, they've already taken rates to virtually zero. The reality here is that we're going to probably have to do that here in America. So what does that mean for banks and what does that mean for CDs? It means that for CDs and money market, those rates are going to go a lot lower. So you maybe have been getting 2% on a CD or 2.25 or 1.75. I would be prepared for that to go much, much, much lower. The banks just quite frankly, during this period of time, this episode, they're not going to be able to pay 2%. So those rates are going to come way down. But that's okay because the important piece, Nicole, of having cash, that is your dry powder. Anything that you can get to, and if you have a CD that matures and that's enough money for you guys to live on for the next, call it 3 months or 6 months, then that's what matters, is that amount of money that is, remember, in a wonderful economy, like we've experienced for now 11 years, that is now abruptly going to have arguably a major shock in a bull market in stocks, in a bull market in bonds, in a bull market economy. I think if you searched Google for how many times emergency fund was mentioned, it would register very low. But guess what? This is where those fundamentals, like, hey, having an emergency fund matters for everyone. So it's not just the part of the economy that's going to arguably have a tough time just to get a paycheck over the next couple of months. It's for wealthy retirees too. Now, it's a little bit different in context. It's not that you have to have emergency fund because you need to be able to pay the bills. You should already start thinking about a portion of your safe investments. That's your emergency fund. So Nicole, for you, that might be the $10,000 or $50,000 or $100,000 you have in CDs. That's an emergency fund. For somebody else, that might be the 30 or 40% they have in bonds that, again, they've held up extraordinarily well through this crisis. That's your emergency fund. So we may think of this in different terms. For one person, an emergency fund is having $1,000 in cash that they can get to literally in an emergency. And by the way, we are in an emergency. And for you, it might be the CD that just matured that is the money that you guys can live on. If there's a temporary, and the word in temporary is, I think, an important piece of the conversation of the next couple of months, when there's a temporary interruption in some sort of cash flow. So think of that.
You do not need that money. Is it, where would be the best place to have it?
Yeah,
leave it where it is?
Well,
it's not being used as an emergency fund. It is not needed.
So for you, if you do not need it, then this is the time to be rebalancing potentially into equities and stocks that we know have a wonderful shot of getting through this. So Nicole, I'm going to actually talk about some of those companies that have so much cash on their balance sheets, technically emergency funds for these companies, and so little debt. They can sail through this crisis without selling another Band-Aid or toothbrush and be completely fine and make it to the other side. And we're going to talk about that when Money Matters returns. Nicole from Athens, thank you for your call. You're listening to Money Matters. We're doing weather, traffic, then right back here, 95.5 WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here at Sunday Morning. Wes Moss, your host here every Sunday morning to take your calls, your questions. And following up on the phone call that we just had, I think it was an important call that said, well, wait a minute. What if you have money? Is it time to rebalance into something else? Here we are in this this is a loud, unruly, chaotic period of time for the economy and for stocks. And there are, however, when we go through one of these periods of time, and we talked about kind of step one is face reality of the situation we're in. Step two is bridge to dry powder. Step three is that we are going to get a recovery. So we need companies that are able to bridge that storm as investors. So the one of the things that Ryan and I and our investment committee for the last several weeks have been talking about are companies that bring quiet to this storm. We actually call this is our doomsday list. And the doomsday list just means that, hey, what are the companies that are able to make it through this really with zero worry? And zero worry means that you have plenty of cash. Our caller from Athens asked about their emergency fund and their dry powder. Well, what about the dry powder and the quote emergency fund for companies? I think that is something we've got to focus in on when you go through these really difficult times. And I'm going to give you some examples here. And just full disclaimer, you know that I can't just shout buy these companies or not buy these companies. So if, just because I mentioned a company, you've got to go do your own research, make sure it's right for you if you want to buy it. So these aren't recommendations. They are just examples of what we look at to get through this period of time. So take a look at Johnson & Johnson. They do have debt. And they have interest expense payments every year of $318 million. Whoa, that's a lot, Wes. $300 million in debt payments? That is a lot. But they also have $19.2 billion in cash. So they have interest payments of $300 million. They have cash of over $19 billion. That means that for the next, how many years could they pay the interest on their debt without selling another pack of Band-Aids? The answer is 60 years. They have enough cash to pay their interest expense for the next 60 years. 60 years. Berkshire Hathaway, the interest expense on their debt, they have enough cash to pay that interest expense for 104 years. You think we'll be through that crisis in the next 104 years? You get my point here. We're going to continue to talk about companies that have a bridge of dry powder. You are listening to Money Matters. Stay tuned to the 10 o'clock hour. We'll be back. I'm your host, Wes Moss, right here, 95.5 WSB.
It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss, certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta, Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here. Wes Moss, your host every Sunday morning, along with Ryan Ely here to take your calls and your questions in a week that stock market dropped 10%, the biggest hit since Black Monday, which was October 19th, 1987, which was down 10%. This week, down 10%, really just on Thursday, just a massive, massively difficult period of time we're going through, obviously, for stocks. Well, what happened this week? So obviously, coronavirus declared a pandemic. We know that by the WHO. We also happened to be hit with So this is technically what is called a black swan event. It is something that comes out of nowhere, literally from an animal to a human, and then all of a sudden it spreads around the world and very so quickly. And then we have an oil price war between Saudi Arabia and Russia that impacts global oil prices. Really call that a second black swan all in the same week. So and that is a big part of what just that in itself sent oil prices cratering, which hurt oil companies in the middle of what's already this economic seizure that we're having here in America, which has obviously had a massive impact on stocks. There's no basketball games. There's no MLS, MLB. You name it, it's canceled. Anywhere from sports to schools to France just shut down. Italy's already in shutdown, and the United States is following suit. For the week, Dow Jones was down 10.4% because we actually had a really massive, massive rally on Friday that we'll talk about what set that off. But for the week, it was obviously a very difficult week, and we entered into a bear market. That means minus 20% or more for stocks. And as of Thursday's close, again, kind of just this panic selling to some extent, we entered into a bear market, and at one point down 27, really the Dow down 28% at the bottom on Thursday, finished the week only down 21.5% from its high. So we are in bear market territory, obviously, for the Dow, the S&P 500, the NASDAQ hit almost down 30% this week as well before a big rally on Friday. Again, we'll talk about that. How quickly sentiment around this shifted. We know that effectively there was an article in The Atlantic that came out, and I think it was one of these articles that went viral that was almost a catalyst for this, that talked about the importance of social distancing. We probably by now you've heard the story, and if you haven't, I'll just briefly go through this about the Spanish flu in 1918 as that entered into America. There in the summer, the mayor of Philadelphia basically decided to hold a parade while the mayor of St. Louis decided to cancel the parade. And you've probably read about this, but this is research that's been floating around for years, but nobody cared about it until we have our own global pandemic that hits the United States. Well, what happened? Well, the city of Philadelphia, cases spread rapidly because they had this huge social event. Cases in St. Louis, where they didn't have the parade, the cases were flattened out dramatically. Now, over time, they still both had the same amount of cases, but the pressure on the hospital system was much lower in St. Louis because they effectively, it's an example of discongregation that the CDC would say, or just social distancing. Really, all the buzzwords around COVID-19 are scary words. Social distancing. Really, it's just spreading people out. We're going to spread out for a while. And if you take that, so that's one response to this, which helps our healthcare system help more people to bring the survival rate much higher. So that's what we're doing, and we're responding as Americans doing this. Now, what is even more powerful than canceling these big gatherings is doing social distancing, which allows again, this has been modeled out by several public health institutions that social distancing can bring the infection rates down. Depending on how much we discongregate, it can bring the rates down dramatically. And I'm not talking about 5 or 10%. I'm talking about 50, 60, 70, 80, or more than 90% reduction in infection, which means a 90-plus reduction in mortality. And I want to go through that because it's a fascinating working paper from the Institute for Disease Modeling that I found. And then I found the research paper that went into that new research. So we're going to get through that here today because I think it's a really important public message. And I believe it works extraordinarily well. But here we are. If you just to recap the kind of volatility that we saw. And this is one of these things where I talked to the CEO of a major ticket company in Los Angeles. And this was earlier in the week. And the conversation was, this is all happening in such a compressed period of time that they had more than 300 events that they had sold tickets to already canceled in a day. So just imagine how quickly this wave of cancellation. So the article, by the way, let me go back to that, in The Atlantic was titled "Cancel Everything." And that kind of went viral. I remember, I don't even know what night this was. It was earlier in the week, picking up one of my kids from one of my older sons, who I don't coach in lacrosse, picking him up and getting that kind of, when I know when four or five people text me all within the same 30 minutes, all above the same article, that's viral. And that's exactly what happened to that Atlantic article. And then, of course, only a few days later, everything did get canceled. And what it did to the markets is just created this massive swing. So the Dow Jones was down 2,000 points on Monday. Then it was up 1,100 points on Tuesday. And then it plunged 3,800 points on Wednesday and Thursday. I mean, that's how massively volatile and massively negative this week was. And then we rallied, though, 2,000 points on Friday. Now, why do we do that? And obviously, we're going to, that we've talked about the path to recovery. It's pretty simple. You face the reality of where we are. We understand what works to keep the survival rate as high as possible. 99+%, 99.5%, talking to the infectious disease specialists, is likely what this will end up, or maybe even better than that. And number two is we've got to be able to bridge. We've got to be able to bridge this period of time. Well, we're going to do that through either focusing on the cash that we have, or companies, and this is what we just talked about earlier, companies that have their own bridge that can get through this. The other thought here, and I'm going to talk about that, we finished up at the 9 o'clock hour with really this list of companies that have so much cash on their balance sheets that they could pay the interest on their debt without selling anything at all for the next 30, 40, 50 years, 60 years, 100 years. And those are the kind of companies that I know will get through this without any problem. And those are the companies that give me solace that we get through this. And that is a huge theme that I think we have to remember during this really, really rough time. And I'm actually going to talk about some of those companies here today. But if you're not a company with a $1 billion war chest, and you're not an individual in their 60s or in retirement that have created your own emergency fund that technically lasts all through retirement, so of course it can last you through the next couple of months. But what about the rest of the economy that is going to, that is effectively seizing up for a period of time? Think about a pizza shop down the street that A, needs workers to come in to make pizza. It needs patrons to buy pizza. And now all of a sudden they might not sell anything. So everybody has a period of time that worked for that pizza joint to where do they, how do they pay their bills? And if you think about that, there are lots of industries that can work from home. And we happen to be, fortunately in the financial industry, we've been a third of our workforce is working remotely anyway, because they're traveling and they're doing office visits and they're visiting with clients. So a company like ours is already set up to work virtually, and we can turn that on on a dime and with zero interruption in service to be fully functional. But for the parts of the economy that are not in that position, what do we do? Well, we've got to have some sort of fiscal response to get us through this, like we've had in every other recession in modern history. We've had some sort of fiscal response. And that is what we're getting now. Now, the market almost had to force the hand of Congress, and it had to force this. I keep saying market as vigilante, meaning the market took this into their own hands and say, well, if you're not going to do something, we're going to do something, and we're going to force it. And that's being down 2,000 points on Monday and then 3,800 points over Wednesday, Thursday. That is a absolute forcing of the hand that we saw now, the response, starting this Friday. So the response that we saw, we needed, the early response to coronavirus and the economy was a pea shooter. On Friday, we got a bazooka, and that's a good thing. So the response here now is this, number one, we've got the Congress just passed HR 6201. That's a really big deal. It's going to give free coronavirus testing. That's an important piece of the health side of the equation that matches up with the public. Here's number two that creates this bazooka or triangulation of the problem, is this public-private partnership with the federal government and the biggest, strongest brands to get us through this from a health perspective and get testing ramped up is what we need so that we are informed. And when we're informed, we can start to understand how we fix the problem. That is CVS and Walgreens and Walmart and Target and LabCorp and Quest and Roche and these home health companies all in coordination together to fix the problem. Then we have the Federal Reserve. Now, I want to talk about when we get back also the bill 6201. It's not just free coronavirus testing. It's expanded funding for food security programs, massive unemployment insurance help to get people through this, Medicaid funding, emergency family and sick leave. This is going to be in the hundreds of billions of dollars of stimulus to help bridge that gap for the folks that don't have dry powder to get us through. You're listening to Money Matters. More on this when we return, 95.5 WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here, WSB Radio. Wes Moss, your host here every Sunday morning, along with Ryan Ealy to help answer your calls and your questions in arguably a difficult time for investors. No question about it. In a week where stocks fell more than 10%, we had a day where stocks fell 10%. We had a massive rally, though, on Friday. And a big part of that, the catalyst for that, had to do with part of the formula to get through this. And it's really, to me, it's been this three-step almost behavioral investment plan, which is, one, recognize the true problem that we face. I think Americans are finally doing that in very short order. Two, we need a bridge of dry powder to get through this. And then three, of course, is to recognize that we will have a recovery. We will have a likely massive economic recovery when we get through this social distancing that helps keep this disease and this virus at bay as much as possible. It's not going to go away right away, but we can keep this at bay to some extent. And I have research on that I want to talk about at the bottom of the half hour. However, the response, though, for that dry powder are two things. One, as an investor, I want to own companies, and I talked about this earlier, this doomsday list of companies. A couple examples I use, and again, remember, don't just go run out and buy these companies, but these are examples of companies that have so much cash that they could effectively not sell anything for years, and still be able to pay their debt. So Johnson & Johnson is an example. They have over $19 billion in cash. Their interest expense on their debt in any given year is $300 million. Wes, that's a lot of money. $300 million, yeah, but if you have $20 billion in cash, it's really not. It means that they could, for the next 60 years, pay that interest expense without selling another thing. And that, I think, is important here. Even a company like Walmart that has plenty of debt, they actually have a fair amount of debt. They also have $9.4 billion in cash. They could, again, sell nothing else for the next, they could effectively have no income, and just from their war chest of cash, pay their debt for the next 3.5 years. Another example. The Coca-Cola, if you're looking, and I did this, we basically did a cash war chest to interest on debt ratio. So cash divided by the interest you need to pay. Coca-Cola has basically 12 years worth of cash. Procter & Gamble has basically 20 years worth of cash. And here we are talking about a problem that is going to be, we are going to get through in a matter of weeks or months. And I'm talking about years and even decades in some of these companies. That's how much dry powder they have. Think about that through this period of time as an investor. You're listening to Money Matters. When we get back, we're going to talk about how social distancing works and the scientific studies that have shown that. It's important as a public message when Money Matters returns. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. It's Sunday morning. Wes Moss here. The Doomsday List. It's a terrible name, but it really makes a lot of sense. We talked about companies that have enough cash in a war chest that can get through this without even selling another item for a while. A month, 5 months. In some cases, these are years. And I think about, that's the kind of company that I want through these really difficult times. Now, remember, you're going to get, if you want to get really, really cute, you're going to find companies that are down 60, 70, 80, 90% during this. And if this lasts a short period of time, let's say all of a sudden cruises are back online and everything's hunky-dory in 30 days, well, you're going to get rip-roaring stock prices through the travel and leisure industry that you're not going to find with these blue chip type companies. But you also have to really be worried about some of these companies that are in the crosshairs of this economic shutdown. And I think cruise lines, to me, that's probably the best example, that might not make it through. And if they're going to get to the point where there's this question of whether they can even stay in business and pay their debt, maybe they can't, but then they get bailed out. So maybe they can in that regard. And then those stocks potentially rip, roar higher. That's when you can, that is speculative investing during periods of time. And hedge funds are here to do that. And there will be loads of investors that do that. What I need to do for my own peace of mind, and I think for most retirees in America, if you're going to continue to be an investor, which of course you should do, because we will get through this and we will recover economically, which means the market will recover. To me, what I really like to be in, and again, this isn't just now, these are the kind of companies I always like to be in. And that's why I remain really calm during these periods of time. You know, it's a chaotic world today. It's a chaotic stock market. But what brings calm or quiet to this storm are companies that just have these massive war chests of cash. So if you think about Berkshire Hathaway, they have $412 billion in cash. Coca-Cola has $11 billion in cash. Procter & Gamble has $10 billion in cash. Google has $119 billion in cash. Pepsi has almost $6 billion. Johnson & Johnson has $19.2 billion. Home Depot has $2 billion in cash. Walmart has $9.4 billion in cash. These companies have so much cash that they could, without selling another product, without selling another toothbrush or can of soda, over the next, call it however many years, have 5, 2, 7, 100, 60 years, depending on the company we're talking about, worth of cash to pay on their debt. And those are companies that get us through these periods of time. Again, it's economic shutdown. Where do you want to look to? You want to look to balance sheets and you want to look to cash flow statements. And if you can find those cash flow statements that say, wow, wait a minute, that's a lot of cash. Those are companies that have the ability to weather a temporary shutdown in commerce. To me, those sturdy companies are likely to outperform during this period of time, and those are companies that survive without selling another toothbrush or a Band-Aid for years. Quite frankly, those companies I look at, those are the fittest companies that you can look through, and those I think get us through this. So pay attention to companies with these large cash balances, companies like Microsoft and Apple and Berkshire Hathaway and Johnson & Johnson and Coca-Cola that I just mentioned, that can get through these big downturns and then be fine, to absolutely fine from a fiscal perspective through these downturns. And then when things get better, which they will, they recover. There's so much. This is such a rapid development. There's still no consensus yet on how far down GDP goes. Well, let's talk about corrections for just a minute. Remember, the corrections just continue. They happen all the time. We get stock market corrections of 10% or more when everything is when the sun is shining, let alone when dark clouds come by. And we're in one of those periods of time. It's obviously a difficult period of time, but remember that corrections happen all the time. You go back over the last 40 years, there have been more than 20 corrections over the last 40 years, and they've averaged negative 14%. If you take the 10 plus, if you take corrections that don't coincide with a recession, those are on average or 16% down drawdowns. We're already way past that. And they recover typically within 3 months. Corrections that coincide with recessions, and the likelihood here that we have a recession is very high, because we know that the second quarter is going to be negative because everyone's stuck at home. It's like a giant snow day for the next month. So economic commerce is slowing down dramatically over the next month. We get that. So the second quarter, of course, will be negative. I don't think there's any question about that. The question, though, is that, does that persist for an entire six-month period? Because remember, a recession is two full quarters of negative GDP growth. So even if we have a negative 10% GDP in the second quarter, if things get better and social distancing works and we get this thing contained and then we go back out to regular commerce, then what, we could have a plus 10% quarter in the third quarter of 2020. Now, let's talk about the market, though. Stock markets with recessions have average pullbacks of 34%. We're not there yet, but we're not that far either. As of last Thursday, the Dow and the S&P 500 were down 27, 20, depending on which index you look at, the S&P, the NASDAQ, the Dow, anywhere from 27 to 28 to 29%, depending on what index you look at. And of course, there are sectors that are of the economy. Think energy, think leisure and hospitality that are much worse than that. But if you're looking at the market as a whole, those bear markets with recessions, negative 34% on average, take about 23 months to recover. I think this could be a lot faster than that, even though the economic pain in this isolated period, time may be worse than anything we've seen in modern history. I think the recovery will be quicker and more robust than anything we've seen in modern history. So I think this could be a faster recovery than what is the typical average that takes 23 months to recover. I think this could be a lot faster than that. So the bottom line here is that the country is currently in a frenzy. As we all try to figure out how to best handle this pandemic. And we're figuring that out. But as Americans, we are so resilient, and we come together in periods of stress like this, like no other country in the world. Even Congress is getting along, for goodness sakes. Even Congress is getting along. And they went and they stayed late and they passed a bill, H.R. 6201. The Senate's going to vote on that this week. The president will sign it. So we are coming together to get through this. The other thought is that we will be able to combat future outbreaks much more effectively. You know, our personal hygiene is going to go through the roof. The precautions we take go through the roof. And I've talked about the Japan data that we see that over the last month or so, relative to prior flu seasons, the flu rate in Japan has dropped by 60+% because everyone's worried about coronavirus and everyone's washing their hands and taking protective measures. So this actually will increase how good we are at our own public health and our own personal hygiene. And I think it makes us better for that. And then next time we're prepared and it's not such a big deal. I mean, this is kind of it's a shocking thought to say the NBA is canceled. And then after the NBA canceled, almost every other event you can think of in America canceled as well. March Madness. That's why you're going to see economically this called March Sadness, because it's not just basketball. It's soccer. It's any sport league you can think of. It's Vail Resorts, means all skiing is off. You name it, it's canceled. But there is a period of time. The markets will, the economy will recover. And when we do, when that economic recovery comes, and I believe it will be it will be a fierce recovery, markets will start to again reflect the true long-term earnings and the power and the value of businesses in America. And that's why we invest to begin with. So corrections are normal. Corrections happen all the time, and we're in the middle of one. It's more than a correction. It's a full-on bear market, and we get through these. And I think we get through this one with a massive rally back when it finally comes. We just don't know when that happens. So be prepared to have dry powder to help you ride out this storm, whether that's cash and bonds or the companies that have these war chests of cash that can get through this without any problem. My choice, where I come down on that, which one do you own? I think you own both. That's my opinion on this, is I want to have a combination of both of those areas to get us through this, because you don't know when this turns back higher. And if you sit this thing out in cash, you very much run the risk of missing out when the recovery comes. And we know that that is one of the most detrimental things you can do as an investor. Now, I'm going to go back to a working paper that was done by the Institute for Disease Modeling, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center. It's great work done again by one of their scientists, research scientists. Dr. Trevor Bedford, he's a PhD, Vaccine and Infectious Disease Division, Human Biology Division. Who this is a doctor who uses, and if you read this bio, it's amazing. The doctor uses Trevor Bedford, powerful computer and complex statistical models to study the rapid spread and evolution of viruses. Sounds like something we should pay attention to. Harvard University, PhD in biology, University of Chicago, biological sciences. His interests on the side, computer, computational molecular evolution, phylogenetics, infectious disease epidemiology, antigenic evolution and immune dynamics, and Bayesian statistics. I like to play golf and maybe some pickleball with the kids. This guy likes Bayesian statistics. But thank goodness we have scientists like this to help us model out what happened when, and let's talk about social distancing. And I'm going to give you this when Money Matters returns, but I'll start the story first. It was February of 2019, and Seattle, which is not used to a lot of snow, got pounded by 20 inches of snow. It was their version of snowpocalypse over a 9-day period. What happened? School shut down for a full 5 days plus a weekend. They basically had 7 days of social distancing. What happened to levels of every flu or virus you can think of during that period of time or right after? Well, the answer to that when Money Matters returns. Stay tuned right here. You're tuned into Money Matters. Stay tuned to 95.5 WSB Atlanta's News and Talk. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. It's Sunday morning as we wrap up Money Matters. We've talked about so many different things. We talked about companies that have war chests that may help them get through, or the kind of companies that I want to look to get through this very difficult economic period of time. We talked about how this has become a bear market and how markets recover, and on average, what that might mean for this current situation. And we've also talked about the steps of getting through this. One, the realization of what's happening, which I think we've all done. Two is this bridge of dry powder, whether it's your own emergency fund or it's the dry powder or cash that companies have. And three, we talk about recovery. We talk about recovery. So if you missed any of this, you can find the podcast, Wes Moss Money Matters, anywhere you get your podcasts. But as we wrap up, I think this is, to me, is good news, is this study. Seattle got pounded by 20 inches of snow over a 9-day period. It was February of 2019, and it effectively shut down the city and created because of the weather, created this experiment of social distancing. Traffic was down by 40%. Kids didn't go to school. Some parents didn't go to work. And then they did a follow-up study, and this is the Institute for Disease Modeling, along with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and other hospitals. They did modeling on what that did to all the different viruses that we typically get throughout the winter. So that would be H1N1, H3N2, the RSV, different earlier versions of the coronavirus, HRV and HDD. These are all the things that we get in any given flu season. And of course, influenza. The results, here are the results. The disruption in contact patterns reduced contact rates during the intervention by anywhere from 16 to 95%. The model says that if we have a 50% reduction in human contact, basically social distancing, that it's estimated that we drop infection rates. Again, 50% reduction in contact, it drops infection rates by 80%. It drops death rates by almost 80%. 75% reduction in social distancing drops it by over 90%. So the good news is it works, according to science. The bad news is that it's going to continue to work and it's going to shut the economy down for a period of time. The great news is that we will get through this. Think about dry powder as a bridge to recovery. And then when this thing turns, this economy will rip roar back. And that's what we've got to be prepared to do. Find me and the Money Matters team at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Go to the YouTube channel where I just posted a video about coronavirus, how we get through this, at Wes Moss Money Matters. Have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. Stay tuned to the best program on the planet, 95.5 WSB.